The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. We are just checking in with you all this morning to see how you're feeling about last night's game. Charles Barkley, pretty adamant. It was dumb. The Bucks are stupid. It was embarrassing, disappointing, frustrating. Bucks had it in hand. They were up 17 twice on the road in the conference semis. Like, this felt like an opportunity to really show the world that you weren't the team that everyone thought you were. And then the wheels fell off. 800-990-3776. We're taking your reaction all morning long. We also have several polls out in the field. How do you view the Bucks Game 5 loss? The wheels falling off or the Nets finally showing up? Because Gabe has been adamant. You know, Kevin Durant went thermonuclear in this game, and Jeff Green too. And it basically, the Nets needed that type of performance in order for them to win this one.
From both of them. They needed it from both. Not just one or the other. It's the combination of the two.
Didn't you have some breaking news?
I did.
We have breaking news.
I'm not going to tell
you. Did you
it.
Forget about the breaking news?
Well, we all got the email from our boss, Wex. He should never start it off with telling us what the breaking news is and then following up by do not tell anyone in the morning.
That's real tricky for you, isn't it?
Oh, I don't read. I read the first line and I'm like,
again,
all
in
right.
This specific incident or in general?
In general.
So the first, I have the email in front of me. The first line of this email, this is not to be shared until tomorrow, Wednesday morning, after 7:30 a.m.
Oh.
So you obviously,
safe?
you kept reading after that.
I did. I really wanted to break it, though.
Why? Why did you want to break it? Ego?
Troublemaker.
That makes sense. Let me ask you a question, because I saw that email and I was like, wow, this is great news. And then I thought, God, Gabe's probably known about this for weeks.
No, I didn't know about this until that. I learned about it.
Is it great news or sad news? Well, Gene Miller is retiring.
Yep,
that's the breaking news. Yeah. Who's been here forever?
He's been on this station and 620 WTMJ 44 years.
44 years. Legend. He's a legend.
So congratulations to him. But why do you say, is it sad or happy?
No, it's great news for him. Isn't everyone working towards retirement?
February 2022 is when he's retiring.
Isn't that again, I celebrate when people retire.
On my birthday?
I mean, maybe.
When's your birthday?
22.
Well, February of 2022.
I see where you got mixed up there.
Right, I see where you got mixed up.
You guys are such buttholes. I mean, I guarantee he did that on purpose just to get the reaction.
But there was no date.
Right?
That's why it was hilarious. I was thinking in my head, I'm like, it says February
2022.
So you said on
February
my birthday?
February 22.
I mean, this is the same guy that says 220 when he asked Jason questions about, you know, the Packers past seasons. He said 220, so I kind of get it.
All right. Years are hard. Years are hard. 800-990-3776. So, yes, congratulations in order for our friend Gene Miller, who is retiring in February of next year. That was the breaking news that Chewy wanted to break before he was allowed to break it. Big shocker there. Charles in Brookfield, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Good morning. How you feeling about that Bucks game?
Ah, rough game. I was down at Deer District last night, and man, just rough that this happened. But I'm not giving up yet. Bucks in seven for sure. I think that in order for the Nets to beat us, Kevin Durant, I should say, will have to have another historic game. And I don't think he's going to have another game like he had. I mean, I think he'll have a good game, but if it took one of the best games in history to beat us, the odds of him doing that again are pretty slim. So I think we're going to win it at home, and then it's all about game seven. So we'll see what happens.
Do people think that Harden's going to play? I mean, if you put it on the poll.
What? No, this is the...
Once he plays, unless there's a setback, they're not just going to rest him.
Gabe and Jen, can I treat the witnesses hostile?
Please.
What the hell are you... What's wrong with you? What possible reason could they have to not play James Harden? They just saw... The only reason he wouldn't play is because if he re-injured something. You just saw him play 46 minutes. He didn't do jack, and he still played 46 minutes.
You know what's so frustrating? I don't even think that Kevin Durant is that likable. Like I've said that, I think
no,
he's soft,
he's
and I think that he's very sensitive. He's a little bit of a baby. maybe, but I would be celebrating a performance like that because it was so historic. We mentioned it, 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists in 48 minutes of action. And again, I've said he's one of the smoothest shooters I've ever seen in the league. When he and Kyrie are both knocking down those shots, it's like... I don't even know if I can think of two other players on the court at the same time, on the same team, who shoot that well.
Stephen Clay.
Stephen Clay is a good one. Yes.
And then they also had KD. Steph Clay and KD.
That's a ridiculous team.
Let me move this along a little bit.
But wait, hold on. Before I get, I want to say, like, I would have been celebrating that performance, but because it happened against the Bucks, I'm like, bleep that guy. You know what I mean? Like, as a sports fan, you're like, holy bleep, look at what he's doing. This is amazing. He's on fire. He can't miss.
And with KD, I understand where you're coming from. I hate James Harden more, though.
What? Should we put down the ball? Who do you hate more?
Yeah, I hate James Harden more. It's the constant gyration.
Can we say dislike?
Yes.
You want me? I can actually do this.
Who do you dislike more, Harden or Durant?
Yes. I don't know if I want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, just like, put it on there.
James Harden seems like a fine human. I just don't like the way he plays basketball. Like, every screen, like, somebody sets a screen, Drew's trying to fight over it, and somehow he gets the foul call. Like, he just gyrates, and the way he just uses his arm to shove off never gets called for it. Completely, like, you want to talk about hook and hold? Like, that could have been a flagrant foul because the NBA trying to, like, crack down on hook and hold.
James Davison over here.
Yeah, but my point is they just came out with all NBA, the three teams. How do you leave Durant off of it? If you're putting LeBron on it, who played six games this entire season, how do you leave the best player in the NBA off of it?
Because I think he even played less than LeBron did.
I don't think so.
So this year, KD played 35 games, which is less than half.
And what about LeBron?
And LeBron James this year...
I mean, is he the best player in the NBA? Yes.
LeBron played 45. He played 10 more. LeBron played 10 more games.
And LeBron's on second team.
Yep.
It's just...
KD played...
Okay. Does he have a little bit of Aaron Rodgers in him, guys? Does he have a little bit of that chip on the shoulder, guys? If he is slighted like he was, which again is arguable, but in his mind, slighted, does that motivate him even more? Because I'm thinking back to that interview in Sports Illustrated like 10 years ago now, where he was talking about how he was second his whole life in everything and how that has kind of pushed him to prove people wrong. Is Kevin Durant the Aaron Rodgers of the NBA?
Maybe, but I don't know if he's necessarily motivated by the All-NBA stuff. I mean, he's clearly motivated by fans chirping at him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have the burner accounts to be able to chirp back.
Hold on, but is he motivated by what? Who is it? Who's on Jay Will? Jay Will said.
Remember? Comparing him to Giannis?
Yes. Is he motivated by, I'm going to go out and show you that this guy isn't even close to my game.
Yeah, that's possible, certainly.
I don't like KD either. I think he's a baby.
Don't think KD cares about the all NBA team. I think he cares about what the perception of him is.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. Like get away from the specific incident of the announcement of the all NBA team. But does he seem like a guy? Is he the Aaron Rodgers of the NBA? That I've said it out loud, it feels like there are more parallels there than I even gave credit to initially. Like, incredibly talented. Not real likable, you know what I mean? Certainly you don't question at all if you want him on your team because he's one of the best to ever play the game. But there's a little bit of that, I've been second my whole life. I was the second best player in high school. I was the second player in the draft. I've been second in MVP voting three times. I came in second in the finals. I'm tired of being second. I'm not going to settle for that. I am done with being second. Like, there's that motivating from people doubting him or not giving him enough credit.
100%.
I think there's also a part of it that he wants to be credited for winning the championship on his own. Because when he went to Golden State, it was Steph's team.
I agree with that.
Chewy was right.
I agree with that.
Chewy was right.
Then why do you have Harden and Kyrie on the team? Why do you put together a super team?
Also, I thought you and Chewy were broken up. What are you doing racing to play that drop?
He's my buddy.
He's going to beat me up. I have to just...
I've never beat my buddy up.
Exactly. I just do it once. I can disagree with him the rest of the day. It's fine.
No, but am I wrong? They put together a super team in Brooklyn.
Yeah, they did.
Just not his fault that they were injured.
Whose team is it?
I mean, I would say it's his team.
Yeah, it's Katie's team.
Yeah, it's
Katie's team. No one knew that these two were going to be injured.
No, but I still think it's Katie's team, even if the two of them were at full strength.
But your point was that he's trying to prove to people that he can carry a team on his own.
Yeah. Especially now, right? With the both of them hurt.
Yeah, I mean, if they go on and win, and Kyrie is never the same, is not the same for the rest of the playoff run, and James Harden doesn't really get any better than he was last night.
All right, let me
ask
you this.
But I don't think that that can be a motivator, because it would require the circumstances to come together the way that they have, with Kyrie being injured and Harden being injured, in order for him to prove that he can carry a team. His preference is to have both those guys on the court with him, right, guys?
Yeah, but the motivator, though, there would be national media, somebody on Twitter chirping, oh, now that those guys are out, KD can't carry this team all by himself, and that would then become the circumstantial motivator.
So, but you just talked about disliking Harden over KD. Where do you put Kyrie? I dislike Kyrie the most.
That's because you're a Boston guy.
Correct.
Is that all it comes down to?
No, he's
like when he sent us the story because it took place in Massachusetts or New Hampshire or something like that.
Here we go.
So it was the location of the story.
Me and you, buddy, till we
die. The location of the story, not so much the absurdity of the guy being swallowed by the whale.
Maybe this is worse, but I'm very indifferent to Kyrie. Like, I have a strong visceral reaction to James Harden. Kyrie, I'm like, meh.
Did you put it on the poll? Who do you dislike more?
I don't want to.
You don't feel comfortable doing that? You want me to put it on the poll?
He doesn't have to. Yeah, he does.
It just feels kind of mean because, again,
it's who do you dislike? It's not hate. As a Bucks fan, as a Bucks fan,
ratio.
Who do you dislike more?
You can say it, Ashy.
Good Lord.
Say it with me.
He's going to use his veto power here
as the program director. I have larger stones than Ashton.
I thought we already knew that.
Does Jen have larger stones than Ashton? 800-990-3776.
but
fair. It's true.
It's true.
Proves the point, but it seems really mean. No payments for a year. That's right. No payments for a year with my friends over at Window Select, a local Milwaukee-based company offering replacement windows, siding, and doors. So if you are in the market for a new window, siding, or door, all you have to do is contact my friends at Window Select, because right now they have a special buy one, get one free window deal with no payments for a year. That's right. Buy one window, get one free, no payments for a year. But probably the best thing, my favorite thing about Window Select is their double lifetime warranty, because that's how much they believe in their products. That's how much they believe that their products are high quality, energy efficient. They back it up with that double lifetime warranty. Plus, right now, for every window you buy, you get one free with no payments for a year. Call them today. Set up a free estimate for new windows, siding, or doors. 262-703-3500. Or go to windowselect.com. Tell them you heard it from me, Gabe Neitzel, right here on ESPN Milwaukee.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I actually love hot tamales.
I do not.
No. Like the
candy hot
tamales.
Is that the one with the corn where you're eating the husk and stuff like that?
No, you should not be eating the husk.
You're not?
If you're eating the husk, that's why you don't like
it. Come
on. On 94.5 ESPN.
Responses to the polls we have in the field on our ESPN Milwaukee Twitter account. The very first one is, are the Milwaukee Bucks dumb? Charles Barkley very adamant last night that the Milwaukee Bucks are dumb. We will play that sound again when we have a moment so you can hear just how adamant he was about the mistakes the Bucks made last night in losing that game. Also, how do you feel about the Bucks game 5 loss? The wheels falling off or the Nets finally showing up? Go ahead and get your vote in there. It seems like a lot of people are still saying Bucks in 6, which is not mathematically possible, but I understand from a philosophical standpoint.
I get it. I don't think Jen gets it.
But just again, mathematically, you understand that it can't happen.
Ashton,
right?
Does she get it or does
Can
she
I
not
put
get
that
it?
On the poll? Does Jen get it? I feel like that would be a visceral reaction.
Does she get it or does she get it? God. Justin, VP of Marketing, Justin McCoy from Cousin Subs, joining us in studio. Justin, we haven't had many guests in studio since we've been on the air. I mean, we've had Wex in here and Craig in here and Cherie in here, but nobody outside of the building. So this is a very big deal.
It's
welcome.
Exciting.
I'm excited to be here. I'm used to being here like 6 to 7 times a year. This is the first time in over a year plus.
Well, why are you here?
Well, I am here to talk about our 49th anniversary, Jen.
I'm a little nervous, if I'm being honest. Why are
Isn't
you
this
here?
The second time that Jen got aggressive with me? The last time we were on the
we
air?
Get it.
It's more of a lifestyle, Justin.
Yep. I've talked to Dario.
Well, I haven't in the last 24 hours, so maybe you've had better luck.
We'll give him his tallywhacker back, and maybe he'll talk to you.
No, that thing's mine. Go ahead, Justin. Tell us what we're celebrating today.
Well, June 19th is our 49th anniversary, and this week we are celebrating our anniversary by offering free delivery to Cousin Subs guests. Anyone can order their favorite subs on any of our channels, including CousinSubs.com, and get free delivery.
Do you have a favorite sub, or are you not allowed to pick a favorite sub because you work at Cousins, and that would be fair to the other subs?
Well, yeah, because you don't want to pick a favorite child.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Homer said you can, though.
Oh, yeah. Homer ranks his kids.
Yeah.
You want to take advice from Homer now?
I'm afraid I'm morphing into Homer. even more scary.
We're going to unpack that later.
Okay. Oh, wow. Favorite sub, I think I've shared before, pepperoni melt's one of my favorites, but right now the Italian Caprese, it's one of my favorite LTO subs of all time. I just love it. It's a great sub.
Do you guys track that? Like the best-selling sub at Cousins? And what would that be?
We do. I have some trivia for you guys. That question's not on there, so I can answer it, Chewy. Our top seller is the ham and provolone. So, you know, people like their simple subs. So ham and provolone's one, turkey's two, I think Italian special three, and then our cheesesteak. But we do track all
the cheesesteak is bringing it, though. Yeah. But I tell you, I am just creature of habit. I don't even have to tell them what I'm ordering. I just say it's me. All right, roast beef cheddar, no mayo. Thank you.
So I got a roast beef cheddar yesterday.
So good.
Did do the mayo, no lettuce, no onion.
That's what I did.
I think I heard that all three of you got roast beefs yesterday, and isn't that your favorite stuff?
That's my fave, yeah.
So was that a thing?
I didn't know that these two. I thought Chewy's favorite was the tuna.
This may be the only thing that the three of us have in common.
Because I asked what you guys ordered, and I heard all three of you had a roast beef.
Look at you bridging souls. All right, so let's do the trivia.
All right.
Right, to celebrate the 49th anniversary of Cousin Subs. Oh, we got some music, Jeopardy, love it.
Okay, I got five questions. We got a prize of a $49 gift card, a Subby bobblehead, and a Cousin Subs Red Solo Cup. And question number one is, which of these subs was not on the original store's menu in 1972?
Ooh.
The pepper steak, the club, eggs and peppers, or boiled ham?
Club.
All right, pepper steak.
No, that's old school.
Yeah, I think it's the club.
That's final answers? It is the club, Chewy.
Why do you got that?
What do you got to steal your answer?
Yeah.
You just wanted that all to yourself?
I was under the impression that we were going to write these answers down, so in case we had a dual answer.
Oh, okay. But then how would you win still? You just get points? So now you guys have 1 point each.
Yeah.
I have zero.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
All right, question number two. What was the cost of a 7.5-inch turkey sub during Cousin Sub's first year selling at Summerfest? A, 50 cents, B, 99 cents, C, $1.15, or $2.25?
Did you tell us what year it was or no?
I did not.
He did not. I think he did that on purpose.
But you did say the first year of Summerfest, right?
Our first year selling at Summerfest.
Your first year selling at Summerfest.
I will say.
Does that help? Yeah. Getting a little more? Yeah, it does.
It does.
Okay, fair enough. 99 cents.
Yeah, I wrote down 99 cents.
I'm going to go with the dollar one.
Are we giving the answer now or are we waiting?
I'm going to go with the dollar one. Is that the 99 cents?
Let's give the answer.
All right.
No, dollar whatever.
All right, the answer is $1.15.
Yes! We got it!
Woo! Does that count? Now we got to decide. Does that count? He said the dollar whatever.
Yeah, but that's count?
In Chewy's accounts.
In Chewy's accounts, because, again, if you know how Chewy's brain works.
Anyone on this show just be nice to me.
He stopped listening. I'm trying to be nice.
All right, here comes question number three. What is our oldest open location? Hales Corners, Germantown, 60th and Silver Spring, or 51st and Howard?
The 60th and Silver Spring.
Hales Corners.
51st and Howard.
That's what I said.
All right, question number four.
I'm on the board.
Name our four bread choices at Cousin Subs.
Not multiple choice.
You got wheat, you got white, you got Parmesan something or other.
Asiago?
That too.
I don't know. I have no idea what the breads are.
Yeah, there's wheat, there's French,
there's white.
There's sourdough.
I thought there's like a
Could be a sourdough.
No, there's no sourdough.
There's no sourdough? Sourdough, it must be like
Hawaiian roll.
Well, same thing with pretzel, because pretzel is like special edition.
It's a special edition.
Okay,
bread.
So that doesn't count.
All right, we're off the rails on this one. So the four breads.
Hey, welcome to Jen Gabe.
The four breads.
I mean, in honesty,
and Gabe, as long as we've known each other, French. Are you,
yeah.
Really?
What?
Oh, he's
Italian.
Yeah.
Garlic herb, multigrain, and Parmesan Asiago.
I got the Parmesan.
Any points.
You did.
Nobody gets any points on that one.
I meant Italian.
I said Parmesan.
All right, the Ringer question. Here we go. Name Cousin Sub's original spokesperson. I'm going to give you three clues. They appeared on stage, television, radio, and more than 100 films. They have 2 stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. They have an iconic voice narrating several films, as well as the monologue for Michael Jackson's Thriller.
James Earl Jones.
No, Vincent Price. I shouldn't have said that out loud.
I mean, I know who Vincent Price is, but I didn't know that any of that about him. If Jen's right, I have no idea.
So you would rather take a zero than steal my answer? Yeah.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, you can't take it.
Yeah,
no, it's...
yeah, Chewie's right. I can't take it.
Answer is Vincent
yes,
Price.
Yes, it is!
I still won.
Growing up watching Michael Jackson's videos finally paid off.
I should have known Vincent Price. I was jumped. Because I do remember him in the Michael Jackson video.
Mm-hmm.
That was a joke. I love it.
Darkness
Price.
Falls.
Two Hollywood Walk of Fame stars.
Yeah, what are they for? That's
The Brady Bunch was one because that episode was awesome.
TV and film. That's why he has 2.
Oh,
he was in Batman the series. He was in a couple
That's
other.
That's right. He was in Batman.
He started out in TV and stage, and then he morphed into the Thriller movies.
Yeah, great voice. Had a great voice.
All right. So who won?
The winner, Chewie.
Love it.
Chewie was right. Holy. Chewie
Just for
was
that,
right.
I'm going to give my winnings to Ashton as a peace offering.
What, Chewie, there's $49 of Cousin Subs
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to do that.
So that should get me a friendship for at least a year, right?
This means I can't do anything
to
you?
You're trying to buy allies?
This means I can't do anything mean. I can't play any drops against you, none of that.
How about you just have to play the drops whenever I want?
I'm surprised that when I told him that there was money actually on the line here, $49 gift card to Cousin Subs, he didn't say, I will be keeping that, and here's the bobblehead of Subby. It is Subby, right? Yes, Subby the bobblehead. Yes.
$49 great. Because Subway, or excuse me.
Well, I didn't say I was giving him the gift
certificate. $49 because Cousins is celebrating its 49th anniversary.
He gets Subby in the cup.
Yeah, exactly. You get the gift card. I knew that's how that was going to ultimately work out.
Oh, I'm
Justin,
fired.
I know we're also teaming up with you guys to announce the midweek meal ticket free subs for a year winner. We have that winner?
We do. Joyce what? Borland of Sun Prairie.
Oh,
it's a big day. It's a big day. Chewie won a trivia contest, which Gabe and I won't take personally at all.
Again.
And Joyce Borland from Sun Prairie has been selected as our free subs for a year sweepstakes winner. Congratulations, Joyce. I'm sure you'll run into Chewie out at his Cousin Subs.
Mm-hmm. I got 2 of them on Sunset and the other on Silvernail or Grandview.
Do you have a preference? Do you go to one versus the other? Depends on where you are?
Depends where I got to shop. If I'm shopping, it's Grandview. If I'm not, then it's Silvernail.
And they know that it's roast beef
bunch.
And cheddar, no mayo.
Oh, yes.
Justin, great to have you in studio with us. Of course, Cousin Subs has received more than 43,000 entries for the free subs for a year sweepstakes. That's got to make you proud, right? That many people like your product, enjoy Cousin Subs, and want to win Cousin Subs for a year.
We have some very, very loyal guests, and we're appreciative of every single one of them.
All right, so now we'll get to the important stuff. Are you okay?
No.
You start with the Bucks, right?
Yeah.
Frustrating, disappointing, yeah. Embarrassing. What words would you use?
How is it this team can make stars out of Fred VanVleet? Jameson Carter, Tyler Hero, Jeff Green, Blake Griffin. I mean, at what point does it become a pattern?
Oh, I think we're well past that point.
If you're listing 4,
right.
I think we're there.
Right, so then that leads me to there's a coaching aspect to this situation. And then I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, a lot of people. Why do you think people are so hesitant to kind of pile on Bud? Like, you hear it nationally. I get asked every time I go on national radio, like, is this it for Coach Budenholzer? And I'm always like, well, he's evolved. You know, the guys are playing more minutes. You're seeing Giannis's role evolve. So there has to be some growth there. But then you put up a stinker like last night, and then you go, oh, this is becoming tough to defend.
Well, I think us rabid sports fans live too much in the Twitterverse, and you have half of the Twitterverse. If you mention that it's a coach's issue, you're basically attacked. But how can you look at a superstar and a team that completely falls apart in the midst of games mm-hmm. when they perform so well? There isn't a timeout call. There's not adjustments made. You see an offense go to isolation ball. You see a defense that where was Bobby Portis last night? You know, where was he, you know, to guard on the perimeter? Brooke was struggling. I mean, where are these things happening? And that's just the frustration. It's a frustration as a Wisconsin sports fan.
Can I tell you something, though, Justin? You could read me the phone book. You have a very nice voice. Like, for all the panic in my voice and, like, I make people anxious, you make people very relaxed. Did you, has anyone ever told you that? Like, right? You guys are...
Well,
like,
he's very calmly explaining why he's frustrated, but there's no frustration
right,
there.
It's very calming.
You didn't hear me in my living room last night. And if you look at my Twitter feed, you'll see.
So you just pushed it all there.
You know, I did some breathing exercises before I came in this morning. So.
Is that how you're supposed to do it? Maybe I should
something
start.
Like that.
You're maybe the one that breathes on the show.
They get when I start breathing heavy, they're always like, we're going to go
back up,
back away from the table. Justin McCoy from Cousin Subs, great to have you in with us. The VP of Marketing, of course, announcing the winner of our midweek meal ticket free subs for a year sweepstakes and, of course, helping us celebrate the 49th anniversary of Cousin Subs. But I think the highlight here is that Chewy won trivia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that we're ever going to live that down.
Who would have picked that coming in?
Yeah. Who would have guessed?
I mean, he's the one who goes to Cousins like 3 times a week.
Do you think he just osmosis picked up some information?
I would think so. He just sees
he couldn't spell osmosis.
I saw the questions.
Like, oh, you genned it?
What?
Ooh.
Wow, Gabe. Wow.
What, you cheat at power rankings every week?
That's ridiculous. Carefree Boat Club is here to help you create lasting memories of fun in the water for the whole family. I'll tell you who I'm not taking out on the boat. This guy,
I got
Gabe.
Chewy.
Could be literally any of us.
I got Chewy. Like, Chewy's ever taken you out on the boat. Carefree Boat Club, though, Gabe, if you did want to go out on the boat, is the perfect opportunity for you to get a boat all your own. And here's how it works. You go on their website. You pick a boat. You pick your time. And then you just show up. They provide the boat. They put it in the water. They make sure it's filled with gas. All you have to do is have a good time. Carefree Boat Club makes getting out on the water affordable and easy. Call 262-42-BOATS, 262-42-BOATS, or go to carefreeboats.com to sign up and join the club. Get out on the water this summer.
She's our ace, our cleanup hitter, and our source for all things crew. She's Brewers reporter Sophia Minert.
It's just a regular street, like 25. To really go 25 is pretty slow. Like, it's painful. For an impatient person like myself, it's painful.
Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Ewald Automotive. Shop the Ewald Automotive Group, home of the 20-year, 200,000-mile limited warranty on all new vehicles. Visit any of their 8 locations today, in-store or online at ewaldautomotive.com. Ewald Automotive, we make it easy. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Enter to win the Spring Baseball and Arizona Sweepstakes from Century Foods. Complete an entry form found in their weekly ad and bring to your local Sentry. No purchase necessary.
Sophia, a big day in baseball yesterday as the league makes a big announcement about cracking down on some of these sticky substances. And it was Chewy's taking out the trash earlier. He was talking about Tyler Glasnow, who was like, hey, I have an injury now because I'm not using sticky substances anymore. What is the vibe from the players with regards to this crackdown?
You know, I think they all knew it was coming, and so that part is not a surprise. I think they were mostly just waiting to see, like, what the actual rules would be and, you know, punishment, of course. I talked to Freddie Peralta yesterday, Brent Suter, who is the team's union rep for the players' union, and, you know, Suter said he's just been trying to kind of be that lead guy in terms of keeping everyone informed of what might be coming down, what the memo is, what that means, enforcement, keeping everybody on the same page. You know, as of yesterday, they weren't having a formal team meeting about it. I think, you know, Craig Counsell was very matter of fact about it of, you know, you read the memo and that's what it is. Right. So, Brent Suter said that the one part that did surprise him was the 10-game suspension. He thought that was a little higher than what he was anticipating. He thought it would probably be 5. But he said nothing else really surprised him. And I think, you know, now it's just, you know, it'll start to be enforced on Monday and we'll see what that actually looks like. I think their hope is that it's not going to delay games with umpires going out to check pitchers and you hope it's not super obvious. And Craig said as well, like, once you make the change, just like everything else, there's a little adjustment period. You feel like it might be really obvious at first, and then all of a sudden you feel like this is just how we've always done it, right? Like, you just adjust and it feels normal again. So it'll be interesting to see because it's sole discretion of an umpire. So, you know, it is really going to be dependent on the umpires of how much they're going out to check and if they're targeting pitchers or, you know, just how strictly they really enforce this.
Sophia, do you have any idea what percentage of pitchers use foreign substance? Is this the Lance Armstrong theory where you know, everyone's doing it, so that's why I do it?
I wouldn't say it's that far, but I mean, it is part of the game, right? Like, would you consider sunscreen and rosin a foreign substance? Like, it's not naturally on the ball, but a lot of players use that. Everyone uses something, like just whether it's just rosin or a mixture of sunscreen and rosin or a mixture of some other things. The balls are all rubbed before the game with this Mississippi mud that every team has. It, again, has been part of baseball for decades. So the balls, you know, a pristine, clean ball is called a pearl. Like, nobody is pitching with a pearl. That's what you hit BP with, right? But in a bullpen, in a game, nobody is using a pristine ball. All of the game balls are rubbed by this Mississippi mud, and then it's up to each pitcher if they need a little extra something to just get a better grip on the ball. So I wouldn't go so far as to say that, like, everybody is using these extreme sticky substances, like what you're hearing with the spider tack and some of these custom creations. But it has always just been part of the game of pitchers just wanting to get a little extra grip on the ball to have better command.
Why is this such a big deal now? That's the one thing I haven't been able to figure out, because I remember being a Red Sox fan. I remember back in 2013, like, there was a big story around the Red Sox and the sunscreen. There was, like, bullfrog sunscreen, mm-hmm. and it went away within a month. And now suddenly people have been using this now for almost 8 years, 8-9 years, and suddenly it's coming back and suddenly we care. I just don't understand why we care now.
I think because everything is trackable now, right? Like, I think people are pointing to spin rate most often in this conversation is, well, look at this guy's spin rate. Look at how it jumped from here. And now, right, now that this has been a conversation over the last 2-3 weeks, now people are looking like, oh, look at Gerrit Cole. Look at his spin rate dropped. You know, he must be because he was using XYZ. I just think it's because before you were only able to really use your eyes in terms of, like, wow, this guy's got good stuff, or he's throwing hard, or wow, that looks a little different. It wasn't measurable before. Now everything is. You can measure every pitch, every inning, every start, trends. I mean, it's insane the volume of information that's out there. So I think that is probably what's part of it, and that's what the league is pointing to in their memo, is they're saying that they have evidence that this is happening and it is an advantage for the pitchers and it's affecting games. And so I think their hope is that by cracking down on this and enforcing it to whatever degree that they do, that it will level the playing field. And that's kind of the phrase that you're hearing here in the memo from the league, is they want to level the playing field. So that, I think it's just, it really is data driven, in my opinion.
All right, Sophia, that's enough of that. The guy, I saw a tweet yesterday, and it's a big story, obviously, and I understand, I think it's going to keep going as well, and I appreciate your insight on it. But as someone who travels around a lot, certainly in a past life, you would go out and you would dine at restaurants, right? This is a part of your life. Mm-hmm. This is a part of your routine. Do you post pictures of your food? Because there was a guy who posted a picture of his barbecue yesterday, and I can't believe people are still doing this. I can't believe people are still posting pictures of food. He got crushed for saying that it was good, and everybody was like, this is the worst looking barbecue I've ever seen. Are you a food poster?
I am generally not a food poster unless I want to promote a place, right? Like, if I want to say, like, hey, this is, like, an exceptional meal, or, you know, if it's a personal connection, right, of, like, I want to support a friend's restaurant or business or whatever, I think it's more, I'll do it because of that, you know, if I'm just trying to share a good place. But I am not one of those people that documents, like, and here I am for brunch at wherever, right? Like, here's a look at my avocado toast. I personally don't think it's that interesting. And I just always think about, like, what I see from other people. And what I enjoy seeing from other people is when they're recommending other places, like whether it's something new, a cool dish, like whatever, a friend of theirs. So
you know who's exceptional at that is Eric Name. Eric Name is my go-to guy for Milwaukee Eat spots now. Well, if he recommends a spot, I'm like, I screen grab it and I stick it in my phone and I say, all right, we're going there.
I mean, really anywhere. Because when he travels, yeah, he posts the NBA road eats, which would obviously come in handy with you, Sophia, being on the road. Eric's my guy, but yeah.
Jen, you're talking about someone posting food when my daughter, when I used to pick her up from school last year, she would sit there with her camera and I said, what are you doing? And she's taking pictures of herself. And I said, well, how many pictures, whatever that is, Snapchat? 400 and something thousand picture.
In her phone. And you're wondering why it's not working the way it's supposed
to, right? Oh, my God. That's insane. And you have daughters? I can't wait. I hope we're still doing the show. I really do.
When my daughters are your daughter's age?
Yes. Because it'll be really interesting.
I hope we're still doing the show.
Yeah. I can guarantee you Chewy will not be here.
Contract, right?
Yeah, 12 years? 12 years?
12-year contract?
Good grief. Sophia, great to have you on the program with us today. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
We should have asked her how she feels about Post's Pictures food guy, right?
She was... Now that I hung up on her, I'm going to say this. She was real comfortable talking about balls during that segment.
Well, she had to. We asked her questions about balls.
Well, she kept talking about rubbing down balls.
Listen to Ashton. He's always screaming at us for the content that we bring, and now he's bringing up balls?
She said before every game they rub down balls. And I think Ashton and I were the only ones who caught it. Because you guys just still stood there. Just, oh, yes, very interesting point. My head perked up, and I saw Ashton counting tiles in his little room back there, as he does when he's uncomfortable.
Ashton does it so diplomatically, though.
Yeah, he does.
Like, you and I are like, that's what she said! You know, and we're like, Ashton's like...
She said nuts.
She talked a lot about rubbing down balls.
I mean, the thing is, like, Sophia's a professional. Like, sometimes I feel bad dragging her down to our level. So I almost interjected. I'm like, do I want to do that? Do I want to drag Sophia down to our level?
Speaking of dragging down, we absolutely lost this segment. Clock wins.
See, now I'm in favor of the clock.
I know you are.
But you were rooting for the Nets last night, too.
I was not rooting for the Nets. I was rooting for a good game.
Which you did not get. Well, did you get a good game?
I didn't watch any.
I don't know what to do with that. I don't know what to do with that.
I'm frustrated. I'm just going to talk about the Jewelry Center because the Jewelry Center makes me happy because when I wanted to go through the engagement process, I went to the Jewelry Center. They make it easy for you. If you're someone who doesn't have a clue, if you're getting engaged, just look at, you know, her Facebook, look at Pinterest, get ideas. And then that way, the Jewelry Center can help you out with their friendly staff. Plus, engagement rings starting at just $799, which is $35 a month. And they have financing interest-free. And if you have a little issue on your credit, don't worry. They can probably help you out. The Jewelry Center, looking to make the engagement process as stress-free as possible. Because I know, going through it, trying to pick out that right ring, it can be stressful. Check them out online, shoptjc.com, or stop in to the Jewelry Center at one of their three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, and in Burlington.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
No. I think
as
we need
Dairy
to asterisk.
Queen. Very good.
I think we need to asterisk.
Asterisk.
Right there. You're right there.
I am a man of integrity.
Oh, I know that.
And
on 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
I really like Charles Barkley. I like him even more when he is candid, straight shooter Charles Barkley. And I think
isn't
that's
that
what
just
he
Charles
did.
Barkley?
Yeah, but sometimes he does hedge a little. Sometimes. Like yesterday when he said, I still think the Bucks are going to be world champions, but they are dumb. They are really dumb. Here's what Charles had to say after the game.
And that was one of the dumbest games. And, man, I am so mad right now because they got a bunch of really good guys, and they play dumb, and they deserve to lose that game.
Like, why do you guys get so exasperated that I didn't watch the game? You know my role is to watch the rest of the NBA, but because for us to have all three of us watching the Bucks games makes no sense. Someone has to cover the other stuff. It's like Ashton being recently named president of the company. His role changes. Okay, we can't expect him to do the stuff he's been doing so far.
But you never watch the games.
Well, true. The Bucks were the only NBA game last night.
That's true. But
You tuning in for the...
We cannot let the clock win this time around. So, I don't want to get distracted, but I am eyeballing the clock, and you guys take it from me.
Man, we've got like 6 minutes to go. I was exasperated because you sent us a text yesterday saying, go Nets. And then you just said, oh, I wasn't ready for
Nets. Never.
Yeah, but that's just a chaos grenade.
Yes, that's just drama.
Just throwing a chaos grenade.
I don't think so.
Like, at this point, I just pick up the grenade and throw it back over the fence.
But Harden not playing in Game 6 is not a chaos grenade. It's the smart thing to do. It's default Game 6. And just, it's a one-game series. There you have it.
But why would you do that?
Like, when you can win,
because if Harden gets hurt in Game 6, then it should be
What's the difference? He played like he was hurt anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then he'll get an extra, what's it today? Wednesday?
Today's Wednesday.
He gets till Saturday? That's a lot of rest. I tell you what, you don't think Kyrie's going to play either?
I don't know. Kyrie, I honestly do not know. I'm very confident that James Harden is going to play tomorrow night as long as he doesn't like suffer some sort of setback in a shoot-around. Because he played 46 minutes last night. They're clearly counting on him to play, even though he did nothing. Well, I shouldn't even say he did nothing, because he did draw fouls on Drew. Like, him being and his ability to draw fouls got the Bucks in trouble. That's really the only thing he could do last night.
Do you think the officiating will be more like last night's game or the previous game? The previous game where they were allowing the hand-checking. The previous game where you were allowing P.J. Tucker to just drive the guys crazy, as opposed to last night's game where it was, like, a little more ticky-tack, a little more... Any contact is getting rung up. You think it'll be more like Game 4? Is that just because it's in Milwaukee?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes. Of course.
I think so.
Well, I guess that's something to kind of hang your hat on. That's something to keep a little bit of hope. That feels like one of those air bubbles. You guys ever remember playing Super Mario Brothers or one of the Mario Brothers games where you were underwater?
Yeah.
And you're just like floating along, and then you see the little ticker go down and you got to find an air bubble? Playing in Milwaukee, if you think the officiating is going to be like it was in Game 4, feels like an air bubble to me. Because otherwise, I thought we were drowning. There's not a lot else that gives me hope that this series goes 7.
Why not?
Oh, yes. It goes 7 for sure.
Why are you... I guess I feel a little bit about this game the way I felt about Game 1 against the Heat. Like, so many things went wrong for the Bucks, and I mean, it's a little bit different because so many things went right for the Nets with Kevin Durant doing what he did and Jeff Green doing what he did, that even though the Bucks played dumb, that's where, I mean, I don't think that Charles Barkley hedged. He just stated two things that were true, that he thought the Bucks were going to win a championship, but they were playing dumb.
He said that at the end of the game?
At halftime, when they were up 16.
He didn't say that at the end of the game, though.
No. He said they were still playing dumb at halftime. He said, I think they're going to win the world championship, but they are playing
at
some
halftime.
Dumb basketball.
At halftime.
Yes.
When they were up 16, he thought they were playing dumb.
Which they were, again, because there was an evolution as the game went on where they were still, the shot selection was a little bit questionable. They weren't moving the ball as well as you would like them to move the ball. And then it just, like I said, the wheels just fell off.
But
it
I
was just like...
And I expect Kevin Durant to have a good game because he's Kevin Durant, but I don't expect 49 points.
No,
Jeff Green ain't going 7 for 8 from three, you know, from three again. Like, there are some things that just lined up for the Nets that makes me feel better about the Bucks in Game 6. Now, Game 7 is a crapshoot and whatever, but I feel really good about a Game 7 happening.
Oh, yeah.
Well, especially if they go Chewy's route and decide to rest everyone and punt on Game 6 for some reason.
Which is what they're going to do. When are they playing Thursday? Friday's going to be fun.
Drive up the drama so that there's a Game 7 back in Brooklyn.
Are you
a guy who's going to punt on second down. Like, we got sacked on first. Let's just punt it away. We'll worry about the next set of downs.
Are you taping this, friend?
I'm taping everything.
The whole show? Do you not know how podcasts work?
Do you not know how on-demand works? I didn't know if it was beneath him.
Yeah, Captain Ashton back there. Not recording
Ashton.
The show.
Chu doesn't know how anything works. And if you think he does, that's on you at this point.
You're right.
Chewy has set expectations exactly where they should be for him.
Very low. Although sometimes he still manages to blow my mind with just how much I think he's going to contribute. We asked on the ESPN Milwaukee Twitter poll, how are you feeling the series will end up playing out? Bucks in 7, Nets in 6, Nets in 7, Bucks in 6 always. Just so you know, 8% of people did say Bucks in 6 always.
That's disappointing.
Still Bucks in 6.
You voted for that, right?
Of course.
That's what I voted for, yeah.
Bucks in 6 always.
Bucks in 7, 27% of the vote. Nets in 6, 30% of the vote. Nets in 7, 33% of the vote. So eerily close, although you could argue that 60% of the people are saying the Nets will take this series. Look, we're going to hope the Bucks go out there next time and the actual Bucks show up and not the Yucks show up, because this second half was another demonstration by the Milwaukee Yucks. People are calling for Mike Budenholzer's job. I just read an article that says this is who the Bucks are. Giannis is not the guy. Bud is not the guy. Take them for what they are. Just accept that this is who the Bucks are. And if they want to change that narrative, they're going to have to go out there and they're going to have to be gangbusters on Thursday night in Milwaukee. So bring the noise, Milwaukee. Bring the intensity. Bring the energy. Do the team every favor you can to work with them and get them to a victory.
It happens. I don't know if it happens in Brooklyn, but it's definitely happening in Game 6.
You're guaranteeing a win.
Yeah,
I'm hearing you. He is guaranteeing a Bucks win.
Gabe's guaranteeing a win, too.
So maybe that's what Bucks in 6 means.
I'll jump in with Chew. I'll guarantee them.
Maybe that's what Bucks in 6 means.
Chewy was right.
You could say,
yeah,
Chewy was right. Bucks in 6. Bucks in 6. You have to get in on this because they're going to win in Game 6, right?
Yeah, but there's a Game 7.
No kidding, but you're saying they're going to win Game 6. Am I hearing this correctly, guys?
Not sure anymore.
Chewy's lost.
I am lost. How do you vote?
On Twitter.
I don't have Twitter.
I understand.
Well, then
so then you don't vote.
That's totally just wrong.
You tell me, what's your vote, and I'll put it on the poll for you.
Roast beef, cheddar, no mayo.
No mayo.
That's my vote.
Thank you to Justin McCoy, who joined us today in studio at Radio City. Cousin Sub celebrating its 49th anniversary and celebrating with all of its loyal fans. We appreciate you. Bucks in 6.
Bucks in 6.
Will the Intouch is next. We'll be back with you again tomorrow.